Up next, Thomas Keller, one of the most celebrated chefs in the world, talks about his latest cookbook, Bouchon Bakery. Later on, we'll take a look at the life and work of landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted, from Manhattan's Central Park and Brooklyn's Prospect Park to the Emerald Necklace in Boston. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
WNYC receives support from Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, starring Scarlett Johansson, Kieran Hines, Benjamin Walker, and Deborah Monk, on Broadway through March 30th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Bank Street Bookstore, a bookstore for and about children, featuring a Toot and Puddle story hour, Wednesday, December 19th at 10:30 a.m., Broadway and 112th Street. More information at bankstreetbooks.com. Cultural arts partner The Apollo Theater, presenting Sweet Honey in the Rock, celebrating music from many faiths and religions from across the globe. Thursday, December 20th, 8 p.m. Tickets at the Apollo Theater box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000.
Making sense of the senseless, an act of violence ripples across the minds and homepages of parents, families, and elementary school kids. Shared grief, a contagious sense of dread, parents and students struggle to contain the fallout from a shooting in Connecticut. Next time on The Takeaway. This afternoon at 3 on 93.9 FM WNYC.
It's time for our annual cookie recipe swap. Post your favorite on our show page at WNYC.org now, whether it's Grandma's classic chocolate chip cookies or maybe something a bit more esoteric like bacon fat ginger snaps. You can also browse other listener submissions and get new ideas to serve up this holiday season. You have until December 14th to submit it, and then tune in on December 18th when Melissa Clark will be here to talk about her favorites. Thomas Keller achieved culinary stardom when he took over a modestly charming restaurant in Napa called the French Laundry and turned it into an internationally famous destination spot. He followed that with three more restaurants and went on to become the only American chef to achieve Michelin Guide three-star ratings for two different restaurants in the same year. He's also opened five bakery locations across the United States, and his fifth cookbook, called Bouchon Bakery, focuses on recipes from them. He co-wrote it with his executive pastry chef, Sebastian Roussel. Did I pronounce that right?
Roussel, yeah.
Roussel. It is published by Artisan in a huge, gorgeous edition, and I'm very pleased that it brings Thomas Keller back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. It's great to be back, and thank you for having us. The book is certainly, I'm very proud of the book and very proud of what Sebastian's been able to do.
Well, chefs don't usually double as bakers. Have you done both over the course of your career?
Well, you know, when I was younger and just beginning, yes, I did some pastry work. I remember I was a chef of a small restaurant in Catskill where I did all of the baking as well. And I found great gratification and satisfaction in baking, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. And I always knew that savory cooking was going to be my focus. And realizing that, and then also realizing that you needed to have somebody who had the expertise in pastry and baking, and so you always have pastry chefs. And Sebastian has been the pastry chef that's now been with me for over 14 years.
And what is the big difference? Shouldn't somebody who knows how to cook well be able to do everything?
Well, I think you want to have knowledge of everything. I don't think you want to be able to do everything. It's kind of something that is a bit romantic to think that a chef understands and able to execute everything at that level that his reputation defines. But being able to really delegate and hire somebody and see the talent and the skills in other people is really what a big part of what Chef's Life's about.
But do you think it's also a matter of personality? Recently spoke to Amy Sherber, who started off as a line cook.
Right.
And then realized that she liked baking. She had never thought of being a baker. Now she is one of the most respected suppliers of breads in New York.
Right, and that's a big difference between bread and pastry. So Bouchon Bakery is a book about pastry and about bread baking. But the bread baking in the book is done by our head head bread baker in Napa, Matthew McDonald. He takes care of all of the bread, where Sebastian's really focused on the pastry and certainly the morning laminates and things.
When you took over French Laundry, were you making your own bread and pastries? Or
no, we've always had a pastry chef, but in the beginning, no, we did not have our capability of making our own bread. That happened in 2003 when we opened Bouchon Bakery.
5 years after you.
Well, actually about 9 years after. So, but it's been a wonderful to have your own ability to bake your own bread, because you really have control over it, and it's a very important thing.
Well, you didn't just open a bakery where people come in and say, I'll take a loaf of that, did you?
Well, it's more of a French boulangerie. So it's Bouchon Bakery. It was modeled after the wonderful French boulangeries that I would go to when I was in Paris. And, of course, you have the bread element of it, but you also had the pastry. And depending on the style of boulangerie, you would have different levels of execution of the pastries. You know, you'd have those really beautiful tarts, or you'd have a more rustic tart, depending on the capability of the boulanger.
And what is a Bouchon?
Well, Bouchon is a traditional restaurant that you find in Lyon. Very simple restaurants, usually run by a family, you know, a mother and a father. But what we have right now, our Bouchon is more of a bistro in style. But of course, today in America, bistro means many different things. We have Japanese bistros, we have Chinese bistros, we have American bistros, and so the definition of bistro is changed. So
how did this all work out? You had French Laundry,
yes,
and then you decided you wanted to supply your own bread. Did you just think you'd open a bakery, or did you open a retail place, or did you automatically also think of the bistro element?
Well, Bouchon Bistro opened before Bouchon Bakery opened. So we had the bistro, and then Bouchon Bistro opened in 1998.
Was it a big success?
It was a success. I mean, when you think about Napa Valley back in the mid-90s, late-90s, there was really nowhere to eat after 9:30 at night. And understanding that there were so many people in the hospitality industry that would finish late at night and needed a place to go eat, Bouchon was really a great answer for them.
In France, you find a lot of great restaurants near the vineyards.
Yes.
And in this country, that happened in Napa and Sonoma, but it took a lot longer in some of the other wine-producing areas. Why do you think Napa and Sonoma?
Well, you know, certainly Napa, you know, arguably is our greatest wine-producing region in America, and certainly Sonoma's right next to it. Sonoma, you know, it's also one of the greatest wine-producing regions in America. But we have all of that along the West Coast now. You see from Oregon to Washington, all the way down through the Central Coast, even in Southern California, where we have great wine-producing. I think what's happened in Napa is the Vintners Association really was able to really market Napa Valley in a way that brought recognition to it and awareness to it and awareness to wine. It was just at the right time.
You know, and there were even some wineries that had their own restaurants. But you started in New York, made a reputation here, then moved to California, and you stressed the importance of the quality of ingredients and sourcing from local vendors. Was it a lot easier when you went to California?
Yes. I think that, you know, when we think about local, you know, most people think about local as it relates to geography. I don't really think about local as it relates to geography. I think about local as it relates to the quality of the ingredients. And so it's a little bit different definition for me. And certainly in New York, we have opportunities to have great ingredients from, you know, locally, geographically, locally, of course, as well as throughout America. And so Napa Valley certainly is a little closer to the breadbasket of America, you know, the valley, the central valley, where we grow so much produce in America. So we have an opportunity to get, you know, some of that produce a lot quicker and a lot fresher than you would out here in
but
New
you,
York.
You also write about the importance of the quality of butter.
Yes.
Now, French butter is 83% butter fat. The U.S. standard is 80%. Does that 3% make all that much difference?
Yeah, it makes a lot of difference. It's about the moisture content. So the butter that we buy is going to be the 83%. So we're buying a European-style butter that's made here in America. So it's just a higher fat content, which makes a big difference, because that 3% of moisture, you have to realize, it has to come off somewhere. It either has to be baked off through evaporation. It's going to change the recipe, the texture of the crust, for example. And we want to make sure that we have the quality of the ingredients that are specific to what we're trying to accomplish.
Now, do you have somebody who makes that butter? There are companies like Plugra.
Yes, exactly. So we buy the butter from our dairy companies.
But what about the flour? Because you have worked in Europe, and flour is different in Europe than it is here.
Well, flour is different here depending on what mill it comes from. So our flour that we get in California may be from – the grain may be from the same part of the country. But because it's milled in a different plant, there's some variables in that as well. So we have to be careful. We'll have a recipe for a roll that we want to use here, or that we're using here in New York, and we wanted to do that in California. And we have to modify the recipe a little bit, even though the recipe is only, you know, when you're making bread, it's only flour, water, salt, you know, and yeast. But still, because the flour comes from different mills, it's milled a little differently. It reacts differently.
Well, when I go to my local supermarket, I have three or four different options for flour, but I suspect none of them would be good enough for somebody who's serious about baking.
I don't know. I think what we see in grocery stores today is certainly of a higher quality than we saw when we were children. I mean, you have the ability now today to go into grocery stores and have a lot of choices of a lot of different qualities, and certainly it's been a great satisfaction of mine to see what has resulted from this interest in food in our country in the past 35 years.
I live in an ethnic area, and there are a lot of imported flours to mm-hmm. satisfy the local population.
Yes.
If they're from Europe, do you think that they'd be any better? Or?
Well, funny enough, some of the flours that are milled in Europe are from grains that come from America. So, you know, it's hard to say really worse. It's again about the milling and how that process goes.
My guest is Thomas Keller, whose latest cookbook, his fifth, is about baking. All the previous four there were some breads in the other ones.
But the pastries in the other ones, yes, sure.
This one is called Bouchon, and it's written with his pastry chef, Sebastian Roussel. I'm never going to pronounce that X correctly for French, but Roussel.
Roussel.
And you wrote it with him, and you also include passages from your head baker, Matthew McDonald. Are these the things, the recipes you actually use?
They are. And the great thing about the book is, you know, pastry is a book of precision. I mean, it is an art of precision.
You have to measure exactly.
Exactly.
Unlike when you're cooking vegetables or meats.
Right. Savory cooking certainly has its parameters. But in baking and in pastry, it's an exact science. So we've really done, I think, a great service in this book by qualifying things in quantities that are related to grams. So you have to be able to weigh everything. And it makes a big difference in that, you know, a cup of flour, depending on where it's milled from or depending on how you're measuring in the cup, could have a lot of difference in weight.
So you suggest that we don't use cups and teaspoons and tablespoons and all of that, that we weigh everything.
That you weigh everything. You're going to have the results are going to be much, much better.
When you're looking for somebody to work as a pastry chef or as a baker, and you have a bunch of different restaurants, what do you look for?
Well, you know, the first thing that you look for, I think, in anybody is that desire. People talk about passion, but, you know, passion to me is not really the most important thing when you're looking for somebody who's going to be committed to what they're doing. It's about the desire. Because as we all know, passion ebbs and flows. But desire is something that really is constant. So it's really the quality of their commitment to what they do through that level of desire that they have.
One of the most intimidating recipes you have in this book is paradoxically one of the simplest items, the baguette.
Uh-huh.
Your head baker, Matthew, asserts that a good baguette is the measurement of a good baker.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a very, you know, a very difficult. And of course, the variables in making bread are much different than the variables in making pastry. You know, the temperature of the room, the humidity of the room, the time of the year. As we talked about flour is an agricultural product. So, you know, you have a lot of variables there. And you're thinking about, you have yeast, flour, water, and salt. And those are the four ingredients that make a baguette.
But you also include steam as an important element.
Steam is critical for the crust. Exactly. So if you don't have an oven where you're able either have steam or capable of generating steam through the heat, then you're not going to have that beautiful crust that we all love so much in a baguette.
Now, is the steam just come out of the natural baking process, or do you put water in?
well,
the oven.
Yeah, in commercial ovens, you have the ability to use steam. There's a steam element that comes with commercial baking ovens. At home, you don't really have that yet. So what we've done is create an ability for you to have materials that will get hot enough so that if you douse them with water, it'll create that steam for several seconds, which is really important. It's a really small amount of time that it needs the steam in order to create that crust.
How do you suggest home cooks and home bakers learn and improve? Ina Garten was here recently. She said she cooked her way through Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking to improve her cooking skills.
Right.
Of course, you started working in restaurants, but for the rest of us, I'm not going to take a job in a restaurant.
No, it's all about practice. You know, in anything that we get good at, it's about practicing and continue to do it over and over and over again. And don't give up. I mean, if you do it right the first time, you probably got lucky. So you just have to continue to do it. Don't get discouraged because your recipe doesn't come out the first time.
Well, you have a recipe for a dog treat. I don't know whether if it doesn't work out perfectly, the dog is going to complain too much.
Well, but the ingredients in there are pretty relevant and very fresh, so you could taste it yourself.
Now that you've written a book about your bakeries, what's next? You've never done a book with the name per se on it.
No, I haven't. And certainly it's something that we've thought about recently, doing a book that's, you know, this is not the French Laundry per se. Would be a great title for it. It's certainly a good time for us. It's been over 14 years since we wrote the French Laundry cookbook, so there's been a lot of evolution in our cooking.
Would the food be pretty much the same in both restaurants?
Certainly the food's going to be pretty much the same. We certainly share all of the ideas. We share our commitment to evolution and the idea of collaboration and sharing. So that's a very important part of our culture. So yes, there are a lot of things about the food that's the same. You're never going to see the same exact dishes on the menu at the same time, but you'll certainly see a lot of the same ingredients and certainly some of the same techniques.
Although the ingredients here taste a little different than they do when they're in California, just the nature of terroir is
right. But we have Federal Express.
Thomas Keller has written with his pastry chef Sebastian Ruxel, Bouchon Bakery. It is published by Artisan. Lots of pictures.
Well, we certainly like to entice people with pictures, just like food. I mean, when you see a beautiful plate of food come to your table, you know, it's enticing. So, you know, the photos in the books kind of do the same thing.
Well, they also show us what it should look like.
Yes, they do show it. But, you know, that sometimes can be a little misleading because everybody at home cannot make the chocolate tart look like the chocolate tart that Sebastian made for Deborah Jones to photograph. But it should taste the same.
Thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.